Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's stand together. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity to come to the house of the Lord and feel the presence of the Lord. That's what we're hungry for today. Spend time with Jesus. Let's lift our hands. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this sanctuary. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Oh, we honor you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. Thank you for your goodness to us, Jesus. We worship your holy name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I worship you, Jesus. God, we desire your anointing today. We desire your help and your favor, your touch today, oh God. Fill this place with your glory. Oh, God. Oh, I pray the will of God done in this house today. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are reading from Luke chapter 1. I want to welcome everybody here today. Adult Bible class. I feel like this is going to be a good day at Tulsa Lighthouse Church. Want to do my part to help it happen. And part of that is to motivate you even more than what you're already motivated, for you to be a part to help it happen. All of us have a role to play in the kingdom. None of us are in the church by accident. Amen. We're not here just because, but we have a purpose. Who knows but what you've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. I don't believe in coincidence. Amen. I do believe in divine providence. I believe there is a reason that God does what he does. Let's read about Gabriel and Mary. Verse 26 in Luke chapter 1 is where we will begin. And in the sixth month, this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with who would become known as John the Baptist. The sixth month, Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Again, this is not chance. He was on a mission. He was sent from God. Verse 27, he was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Would you say highly favored? The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. I'm glad to be in the church today. And so this being favored by God, this salutation of Gabriel to Mary, thou art highly favored. And a few verses later, thou hast found favor with God. I want to teach about God's favor from this perspective, finding favor with God. Amen. Can you say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Lord bless you. And so the favor of God, not necessarily anything that I really ever thought about a lot, growing up. I did grow up in and around the church, was involved, was glad to be in the church. Never thought that it was a drudgery. Never thought or had the opinion that all this that I'm missing out on, or all this, the things that I can't do because I'm in the church. Nothing that God would ever ask you to do or to not do is too much to ask for the privilege of being involved in His kingdom. We know that any, I want to be careful here. I'm very passionate about home and family. Any home worth living in is a home that has expectations. Requirements, if you please. The privilege of being involved or being in the family comes with responsibility. And so such is the family of God. There are some house rules. There are some expectations. There are things that the head of the house says, if you're going to sit at this table, if you're going to sleep in this bed, if you're going to wear these clothes, if you're going to be under my protection, you're also going to be under my authority. And so, just glad to be in the church, involved in the church, whatever. I was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, as none of us are. But I never really thought about the favor of God until actually in this building as a very young minister. Was actually in conversation with Pastor Howard. Would have been sometime in the mid-90s. And Pastor mentioned about the favor of God. And he mentioned about Jacob and Jacob's finding favor, the favor that Jacob had with God. And it charted or set a direction in my life, a motivation of spiritual authority to pursue God's favor. I think most of us understand when I talk about finding favor, what that represents. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of this afternoon, I want to begin by helping us understand that God's favor is not accidental. God does not accidentally favor somebody. It's not accidental with God, and it's not accidental with the recipient. Those that receive the favor of God, they're not surprised. Now, they are humbled. They're grateful. I want to rest your mind here. If you don't want God's favor, don't worry. You won't get it. If you do not desire it, God will not bestow it upon you. Primarily, this is not just something that you say, but this is a manner of life that declares I either am or am not highly interested in God's favor upon my life. Because you can say the words but not live the example of those words, and your actions will speak much louder than your words. So God's favor is not accidental, it's intentional. So God always has a reason for what He does. And bestowing His favor upon an individual is no exception. God has a reason. God has a purpose. And so the angel was sent by God to a virgin, espoused to a man named Joseph. This virgin's name was Mary. And he was sent with a purpose. He was sent to deliver a message. Thou art highly favored, present tense. Why was the angel, why was Gabriel able to announce the present condition of her being in favor with God? Was because two verses later, thou hast found favor, past tense. you have found favor. Therefore, thou art highly favored. And so, it's not this, sis, if you'll get your act straight, you'll get favor with God. No, it was the announcement that you have got God's attention through your attitude, through your lifestyle, through your desire for the kingdom, through your interest and your passion for the things of God. God has put his favor on you. This was not an announcement of something altogether that was going to come. What was going to come is because of what had already come. The favor of God has been placed upon you. Now we'll get into the results of the favor here later on this afternoon. But thou hast found favor. Has anybody ever found anything? Most of the time when you find something, it's because you're looking for it. Now, there are exceptions. We use that word found rather loosely sometimes. You're walking across the parking lot and find a quarter. Look what I found. I wasn't looking for it, but I just saw it. Right place, right time. Now, I'm getting to that stage of life where I might pass up a penny. Is it worth bending over to pick up a penny? It depends on how dirty it looks. I might pass up a penny, but probably not a nickel. Certainly not a dime or a quarter. And a dollar, I might even walk a little faster to get over to where it's at. I don't know. But nonetheless, look what I found. Look what I happened upon. Look what has been added to my life. And so, again, in our way of thinking, when you find something, it's because you've been on a mission. I found something that was lost, something had been misplaced. Lost my phone, lost my keys, lost my hearing aids, lost my glasses. Lost my mind. But this is not the kind of found that we're talking about here in our scripture text. Thou hast found favor with God. Mary was not looking for it. She had not lost it. Now, did she want it? Obviously. I don't read here, again, there's a lot of between the lines in the scriptures, but it's not like it's vocalized by Gabriel. This is something you've always looked for. But by her lifestyle, by the example of her life, she was manifesting the message that she was interested in the things God was interested in. And therefore, God could trust her to help what he wanted to happen, happen. That's really the nuts and bolts of my burden this afternoon. There needs to be a sincere and honest desire in our hearts as the people of God. This is not just about missing hell. And hear me, we all want to go to heaven, but we don't want to go alone. There's more to the kingdom of God than me being saved. But it's about as many as possible being saved. It's about what God is doing before the trumpet sounds. And I want to help it be as good as it can possibly be. Now, God can do it without me, but it's his will for all of us to be involved in some way or another in his kingdom. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. We can be a part of that. I mean, Gabriel was announcing to Mary, speaking of the Messiah. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the kingdom that we're a part of. There's no end to it. There's no limit to it. There's always opportunity for it to increase and to grow and to expand. I'm glad to be in that kind of church. This is not man-made. This is God-made. This is God-generated. This has come forth from God. This is a spiritual work. Can you say amen? And so it's very obvious in this exchange between Gabriel and Mary that Mary was very God-conscious. She had a God-consciousness about her. She was more than willing to do her part to facilitate the will of God. Now, she didn't understand all the ins and outs about it. And who understands everything about God? God. He's the only one that understands everything about himself. And so there's things about God and about his kingdom we don't understand, but this is the long and short of it. Be it unto me according to thy word. I don't understand how it's going to happen, but I just want to do my part to help it happen. There's anything that I can do to facilitate the will of God, I'm in. Yes, sir. Amen. I am very interested in helping the will of God happen. Now let me step aside here and say the best way that you can facilitate the will of God is to do the will of God every day. And help the will of God happen on a grander scale is for you to be and to do the will of God in your life. Amen. Amen. Let's look at some examples of things in the Bible that were found, like Mary found favor. Matthew, the 10th chapter. This is the words of Jesus Christ. He that, verse 37 of Matthew 10, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, I know it's understood here, but it's not stated that he that loves grandchildren more than me is not worthy. It's in there. It just doesn't state it exactly. Y'all have to pardon me, but I'm approaching that season of life. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now we understand what Jesus is saying. You got to put him first. Amen. It's all or nothing. It's number one or not at all. And that is not unreasonable. That is not too much for God to ask of anybody. No matter what anybody has to give up, no matter what anybody has to sacrifice, it's not too much. Notice verse 39 in Matthew 10, he that findeth, what'd you say findeth? He that findeth his life. Now obviously, it's not because they lost living, they were alive, they're not dead. But that's not what he's talking about. He that findeth his life shall lose it. What? How is that possible? And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now this is not talking about here being a martyr. That if you're a martyr, you're going to be all of a sudden you'll just pop back up because you lost his life for his sake. And that's not what he's talking about, but it's this motivation of life. It's the purpose why I'm living. It's about who's in charge and what my life is about. And so when my life is all about me, that's not a life worth living. But it's when you sacrifice your life. It's when you lay your life down, your ambition, your dreams, your goals, your desires, and you submit all of that to God and his will, his desire, his ambition, his purpose. That's when true life can be lived. That's when you really find real life. So it's not about popularity. It's not about all the things that the world says is living. Amen. Paul gives us insight here about the worldly perspective, that the things of God are foolishness to the world. Doesn't make sense. That's foolish. Oh, but it's not. You just got to get it for yourself before you can really understand it. Amen. Let's look again. The next chapter in your Bible, Matthew 11. Jesus again speaks, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Notice, "and ye shall find rest unto your soul." And so you're going to have something. Not that we want it. Yes, we're interested in it in some ways. You might say we're looking for it, but it's a kingdom mindedness. It's take my yoke. Submit yourself to my authority. Get involved in my kingdom. Not for what you can get out of it, but if you do the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, long enough, you'll get the desired results. But there's some fringe benefits when you take his yoke upon yourself. You get more than what you bargain for. You find rest. Amen. Amen. Now, you don't naturally equate yoke and rest. Yoke means work. Yoke means labor. Take my yoke. Get in the harness. Let's get something done. Amen. But when you're working and laboring in the kingdom, when it's the yoke of Almighty God, when you're in the yoke with Jesus, you'll find rest unto your soul. There is no peace like the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's no rest like the spiritual rest and solitude and serenity that you find being involved in the kingdom of God. My. Now, all of us have restless nights and sleepless nights, and we toss and turn. But you know what I'm talking about. There's no rest like the rest of the righteous. I'm in the will of God. I'm doing the will of God. I'm facilitating the will of God. Amen. Yes, I'm under attack. Yes, there's a lot of pressure involved. But it's well with my soul. Might be troubled in my mind, but it is well with my soul. Familiar place of scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, speaking about our high priest. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, all points tipped like as we are. We get that. Because of this, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace. So I'm recognizing my need. And so when I know where to go with my lack is supplied by an abundant supply. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to hit this and then move on. Speaking about attitude and approach about the things of God. Let's look at verse 15. "Looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God." Fail of the grace of God. What does that mean to fail of the grace of God? You either are lacking God's grace, or you didn't do God's grace justice. You ignored God's desire and effort to help you. You ignored God's help. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau." So we're talking about Esau, "who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Now, how many understands that grace comes with the birthright? There is responsibility with the birthright. There's a lot of responsibility with the birthright, but with the responsibility also comes the grace to fulfill it because of the birthright. It's a part of the package. And so we're talking about a profane person. We're talking about a fornicator who for one morsel of meat, Esau, sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he, what? He found no place of repentance. Now, when we read this, next phrase, though he sought it carefully with tears, that seems like, well, he tried to get right with God and God wouldn't let him. That's not what it's talking about. The Living Bible reads it like this. And afterwards, when he wanted those rights back again, it was too late. In other words, he had already made his decision. And he wanted the rights and privileges of the birthright, but he had already told God thanks, but no thanks. He had already put his own flesh and his carnal desires ahead of participating in the kingdom of God. He had already made his decision and sold his birthright for one morsel of meat. He had already told God, I'm out. And then God said, all right, if you want out, I'm letting someone else in. And then he says, oh God, I want back in. And God says, there's somebody already in your place. There's not room for you in that place anymore. And so again, the Living Bible, afterwards, when he wanted those rights back again, it was too late, even though he wept bitter tears of repentance. So remember and be careful. And so let's be serious about the things of God. Let's be mindful of the privilege, yes. The opportunity, absolutely. But also the responsibility of being involved in God's kingdom. This is not a light thing that God has made available to you. This is not easy come, easy go. This is not, I'm doing this just because I want to. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has made room for you in his kingdom. Don't take the privilege lightly. Amen. So what does it mean to find favor with God? Now, Mary was deemed trustworthy by God for a very special work in the earth. We read, thou art highly favored, this station of favor. It actually means to grace or to endue with special honor. So, the root of that word, that this phrase here, thou that are highly favored, is actually just one Hebrew word. It means that you have been endued with special honor. And so this is, this condition, this state is what Mary, quote unquote, found. Thou hast found favor. You have found this condition of being endued with special honor. This word in the Bible is used 156 times in the New Testament. 156 times we read this word in the Greek language. The word that's translated favor, or this phrase, thou art highly favored. 130 of those 156 times, it's not used as favored or found favor or highly favored. It's translated grace. That's why we read in Luke 2 and 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Do I have any alumnus of LCA that can quote Luke 2 and 42 for me? I could if I wasn't put on the spot. Does it say something about Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men? And so this favor, this enduing with grace and special honor. One version of the Bible reads, and of this, what we read in Luke chapter 1, the angel came into her and said, peace be with you, to whom special grace has been given. The Lord is with you. Verse 30, the angel said, have no fear, Mary, for you have God's approval. Now, if I don't have your attention before, I should have it now. You have God's approval. There was something that God wanted to do. And in the timing of God, it was time for it to happen. But it couldn't just happen. God needed human involvement. But not just anybody could be involved. There were some qualifications that had to be met. Amen. And God found a virgin. And through her life, through her attitude, through her approach to the things of God, God said, I can trust her with this opportunity. Now what was the opportunity? It's time for Messiah to be born. It's time, pardon me, for salvation to come. It's time, oh Lord, for prophecy to be fulfilled. I need somebody I can trust to help this happen, to facilitate salvation coming, to facilitate prophecy being fulfilled. Well, God, you're God, and that's your business, and you can do it. Yes, but how God chooses to do it is to involve humanity. Amen. Another version reads, the angel greeted Mary and said, you are truly blessed. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. God is pleased with you. Oh, that has my attention this afternoon. I want to please God. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord about that here for a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I receive your word today.
Lord, I worship you. I praise you. I thank you. Oh, I worship your mighty name.
I love you, Savior. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so Mary found favor. Found favor. It might be more aptly stated in a manner of speaking that God's favor found Mary. God was looking for somebody he could trust with this role that had to be fulfilled. He was looking for someone that he could entrust divine seed. Not just anybody will do, not just anybody will qualify. And so what's the favor of God really all about? What is the purpose of God's favor? The very next verse, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. You are going again to help facilitate salvation. You're being used to help salvation happen. Now notice what the Bible did not say. The angel did not announce, you have found favor and you will be very popular and have a lot of friends. He did not say you have found favor and you'll never have any more financial worries. He did not say you have found favor with God and you will never be sick again a day in your life. Now, let's be honest. Let's be honest. A lot of times that's what we equate God's favor with. Stuff, things, blessings, health. The tangible things of life. Well, I'm blessed, and I had a pastor friend of mine, every time I'd, hey, brother, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, yeah, I am too. And thank God for his blessing, but the favor of God is not about name brands. Blessings and favor are not synonymous. Can you be blessed and not favored? Well, if that's the case, Brother Walter, just give me the blessings and not the favor. Well, it's hard for God to bless somebody that doesn't want his favor, that's not interested, oh God, in what he's interested in. How is it possible? That doesn't even make sense to you. That's not even what you would do. It's just empty your resources into someone that could care less about what you care about. You invest yourself in those that you have things in common with. Most of the time you invest yourself in those that share your name. You're part of the same family. And so God blesses his own. Amen. But there's too many people, amen, in what we would call the kingdom of God. In some way or another, they're more interested in being blessed than they are favored, because With favor comes responsibility. With blessing comes enjoyment. But the favor of God is not about friends. It's not about popularity. It's not about finances. It's not about health. The things that happened to Mary, because Mary was favored, she got criticized. She was judged. She was gossiped about. She was misunderstood. Why? I found God's favor. It's going to get a little quiet here right now. There was a reason why Joseph was, as the Bible said, minded to put her away privately. Because it had all appearances that she had broken the law. She had done something as an unmarried young lady that she ought not to have done. And evidence was beginning to show of her impropriety. And the law says, take her outside the city and stone her. That's what the law says. But Mary said, I haven't broken the law. An angel said, I've got favor with God. And I'm carrying the Messiah in my womb. And Joseph wanted to believe her, but that doesn't make a lick of sense. That doesn't make sense, but thankfully, Mary wasn't the only one the angel was sent to. He was sent to Joseph and says, she's telling you the truth. Amen. It's exactly like she says it is. She's carrying the Messiah in her womb. She is facilitating revival and harvest and salvation. Yes, she's criticized. Yes, she's misunderstood. Yes, she's talked about. Yes, there's a lot of people in her generation that don't understand her. But she's favored by God. And she is willing to be criticized to facilitate salvation. She is more than willing to be misunderstood and talked about and judged for the privilege of being involved in the increase of His government and peace. I'm telling you, revival and harvest and souls being added to the church, is it fun? Absolutely. But it's not about how it feels. It's not about how fun it is. Amen. It's about this is the work of God and this is the will of God. And yes, there's a price to pay. Yes, it doesn't come easy. Yes, there's criticism involved. Yes, there's spiritual pressure involved. Amen. I find that the more involved that I get in the will of God being done, the more responsibility that I am given to facilitate the will of God in the earth, amen, the more of a target of hell I become. And that's enough reason for a lot of people to say, I'm out. Amen. But with a true revelation of the privilege of being involved in God's kingdom, it doesn't matter what the devil does or does not do. It doesn't matter what anybody says or does not say. Be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found trustworthy. I want God to be able to entrust me, entrust my family, entrust you and your family with revival opportunities. That's really what I'm striving for and aiming at today. This is what this burden is all about, is we want God to favor Tulsa Lighthouse Church. We want our lives, amen, to testify that nothing is more important to us than the increase of His government and peace. Nothing is more important to us, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm in the church. Not because I have position or responsibility, but because I'm in the church. I've been forgiven. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Sign me up. There's nothing more important than the kingdom. And everyone said amen. And so she had more than her share of heartache and worry and sorrow and grief. Oh, why? Thou art highly favored. There's some things that come along with the package that are extremely inconvenient for the flesh. But you hear me, the reward is always worth the sacrifice. What did Paul say? He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall follow. They're not even worthy to be compared. Don't even get the scales out. There's nothing that can compare. There's nothing that. Okay. It's part of it. But but it's so hard. Wait a minute. The glory that's our supreme example, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible said of the cross that he endured the cross. He despised the shame. How did he endure? How did he go through with it? Who for the joy set before him. When he realized what this is going to facilitate. I'm in. This was a big deal with Jesus. The disciples come back one day, the 70 that he had sent out, and man, they were all excited because even the devils are subject to thy name. And he's like, that's really no big deal, y'all. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And the Bible said in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. That's King James. The literal translation is Jesus leapt for joy. Jesus had a Holy Ghost party when he recognized and realized and started thinking about heaven and people being there because of him. Right. Oh, hallelujah. I know that he's the only one that can die on a cross, but let it be that there are many more, many, many more that are in heaven because of Tulsa Lighthouse Church. Right. Nothing gets us more excited than helping people go to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has God ever healed me? Absolutely. Have I ever shouted about a blessing? Of course. But I don't want to get more excited about anything than I do about heaven and salvation. Man, there's just another level of worship. When you're not singing about victory, you're singing about heaven. We had a service not that long ago. As a matter of fact, it was when Brother Jones was with us, Brian Jones. He was going to be preaching. Remember that service? I think we got as far as the choir, and that's as far as it went. Do you remember what the choir was singing about? Singing about heaven. Right. Going to heaven. Wasn't singing about the devil being under our feet. Wasn't singing about... Now that's part of it. But that's not the most important thing. I may get sick and die of my sickness, but if I'm saved, that's what matters. I won't be sick in heaven. I may suffer horrible injury and live with the effects of that from now on, but when the trumpet sounds, if I'm ready, that's all that matters. And I got a perspective in that service, a revelation that it all has its place. And sometimes, you know, we're just praising God for his goodness. But there's another level of spiritual intensity. There's another level of visitation when we are worshiping and praising God. And we're telling God through our worship, I want to be with you forever. And let's just put it on a natural plane. It's one thing for somebody to tell you, thank you for the gift or thank you for all you've done for me. But there's another level when it's not about what you've done. It's about who you are. And it's about spending time with you and it's about being with you. Oh, in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 6. God saw the wickedness of man was great. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And he said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. Man and beast and creeping things, fowls of the air. It repenteth me that I have made them. It doesn't look very good, does it? Nobody has a chance. God's about to wipe the slate of the earth clean. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said, I'm done. with everybody but Noah. Because I can trust Noah. Because Noah's life is testifying about righteousness. Noah's life is testifying of faithfulness. Noah was used of God to help salvation happen. Did it come with a price? Yes. Was he criticized? Yes. Was he made fun of? Yes. Did he have outstanding results? Well, it depends on how you look at it. The only ones that believed his message were the ones that bore his name. Amen. But when the door was shut and the thunder started rolling, we won. Somebody is saved. And so when you accept God's terms, he gives you enabling grace to fulfill your calling. Sometimes we get intimidated with the enormity of our responsibility and we get the deer in the headlights looking like, I can't. Well, by yourself, that's right, but you're not by yourself. God never asks you to do anything he won't give you the grace to do. He will not call you or ask you to do something that he won't help you do when you put forth the effort. Now let me turn the coin over. God will not put his grace on something that's not his will. I made a statement, I believe, during the offering on Friday evening at the Spanish conference. A statement I heard a friend of mine make recently. But we're wanting God to bless what we're doing when we really ought to be doing what God is blessing. Does that make sense? It's not God bless what I'm doing. I want to do what God is blessing. I want to find them. It's who's in charge. It's the motivation. It's the desire. It's my intention. It's not about, okay, God, this is what I've come up with. Put your hand on it. No, the angel come and said, this is what God's doing. Mary said, sign me up. This is what God's blessing. That's what I'm doing. And if this is what comes along with God's favor, if I've got to be criticized and made fun of, Noah, if they've got to make fun of you for over 100 years because you're doing the will of God, if that's part of it, that's okay. When it starts raining, being made fun of for 120 years is no big deal. Can I get a witness? And so again, with God's favor, what's it all about, Noah? It's about salvation happening. It's about helping people escape judgment from God because of sin. Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Does this sound familiar? The spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past, not now, but then, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by what? Grace. Grace. Are you what? Saved. It's not a coincidence that grace and salvation are so closely associated in your Bible. Noah found grace. Why? Because he was used to facilitate salvation. Mary found favor/grace. Why? Because she was giving birth to salvation. She was birthing deliverance. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Let's look at Moses in Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is what Moses chose. He chose to suffer affliction. We, in our natural eyes, would say, what a nutcase. What a strange perspective. Has he lost his mind? Well, maybe so. But he found God's. He found God's mind. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses could have had life on Easy Street. Moses could have lived a life where I don't have to worry about anything from now on. I've got it made. I can have any chariot I want. I can wear any clothes I want. I can have anybody I want. I can do anything I want because of who I am. I am the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I have arrived. But God come by one day and gave him a chance to be a part of salvation. And he said, you know, I think I'd rather have a wilderness than a throne. I think I'd rather have rejection and solitude and misunderstanding than popularity and money and friends and fame and fortune. Again, salvation was being made available, and God found somebody he could trust to help it happen. I'm telling you, this is eating me alive. I want to be trustworthy. I want God. And then again, it's not just about me and my family, but about my spiritual family, about our church family. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. This is churning in my spirit. This is what I want to heaven to say about us as a church family. Thou art highly favored. You have found favor. Oh, let's lift our hands and thank God for his word. Oh, Jesus, I worship your name. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have time to talk about the things, the components that make up the favor of God, the factors that brought Mary into the picture of the occasion of time and association and visitation. But we know this is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And this is my conviction. I know there are no two services alike. The only thing I'm concerned about today is the will of God being done. If the will of God is conviction, I want to help it happen. If the will of God is victory, I want to help it happen. The will of God is revelation, I want to help it happen. If it's tears, I want to do my part. If it's worship, it really doesn't matter to me what it is, but that it happens. But in order for the will of God to happen in this service, God's going to have a body that he can work through. He's going to have some saints of God that says, be it unto me according to thy word. This is extremely inconvenient. I don't know. I don't have enough energy. I don't have what, I just don't know. No, not at all. The will of God is worth whatever it costs. Whatever it takes for the will of God to happen, it's a small price to pay. I do know that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God for everyone in our service today without the Holy Ghost to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the will of God. I don't have to pray about that. I know if somebody comes to church and needs the Holy Ghost, it's the will of God for them to receive it. And so what can I do to help it happen? I may not need a blessing. I may pray through a pre-service prayer. Okay, I'm good. I've got what I needed. I'm just going to just sit here. No. Somebody else needs something. It's not about me and my feelings. It's about the kingdom. And so if I have to sacrifice in my worship, if I have to push beyond my flesh, if I have to get over myself all over again, like most of us have to do quite often, let's be honest. Not most of you, most of us. I are one of you. We're in this thing together, aren't we? Oh my God, God grant us a fresh revelation of your kingdom and the responsibility, the privilege that comes with the favor of God. Thou hast found favor with God. Let's stand. Amen. I'll close with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I believe that's the last setting of scripture. Brother Charlie. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "When I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. Now we have the time today, and we have the association. We're in the family of God. And so our motivation today is what? A divine visitation. Amen. God wants to help us help salvation happen. Salvation will not happen by itself. This is just the way. This is the way God does it. He has to have somebody sign on and be available. Be it Gideon. Be it a prophet. Be it a king. Be it a preacher. Be a young person. Be it an Elizabeth. It doesn't matter. He has to have human involvement. That's how God has established his kingdom. There is no end. There's no limit. It's grand. It's great. But it's got to have the human element. The perfect will of God will not happen without humanity being involved. And so God will help us help salvation happen. Do you want that? Amen. Let's thank God. Let's pray about it together as we close this class today. Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh God, we want a visitation of the Holy Ghost today. We know what time it is. Lord, we know who we are. Oh God, I'm asking you to come down. We know it's time for salvation. We know, God, that in your family, you have qualified us, not our righteousness, but yours, that has been given to us through your kingdom and through your blood, through your name. Oh, God, we know it's time. And we know, Lord, it's your will. We pray that you would visit us today in a very special way. In the name of Jesus. My heart's overwhelmed today. And I just feel like something good's about to happen. And it will happen. Because we're going to make ourselves available. Everyone said in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Go in the Lord. Let's have a good season of prayer here shortly. And let's be ready for what God wants to do after a while. In Jesus' name.